From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Alex Cohen. Coming up, the FDIC prepares for more bank failures by creating more jobs.
First, let's make a deal. In Washington, the Bush administration agrees to a $300 billion housing package that's before Congress. It provides financial support to the besieged mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. It also helps homeowners who are facing foreclosure.
Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson had asked President Bush to take back a veto threat over some disputed spending. Paulson said the bill sends a crucial message to the world to help the U.S. end the housing crisis. But will it? And how will we know?
How do we know what to make of anything in the economic news these days? That was the question when we called NPR's international economics correspondent Adam Davidson about signposts.
There's all sorts of data that comes out every day, and we report it, and frankly, most people tune it out and probably should because it changes so rapidly, and it's hard to get you really can't predict the future. There's this one number that I have gotten really obsessed with in the last, say, year that I think most people have never heard of, but I know it's what Ben Bernanke turns to right away, what the people who run big banks, probably Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. It's called the TED spread.
The TED spread, you're right. I certainly had never heard of it. What is it?
Yeah, and I hadn't heard of it until about a year ago when it became big news. So here's something we have a really hard time measuring: how much faith there is in the global economy. I mean, how would you measure that? How would you know? Well, the TED spread is about as close as you can get to measuring confidence in the whole system. And frankly, the numbers are kind of alarming. So what is the TED spread? It's the spread between overnight bank lending rates in the U.S. versus what banks in Europe charge overnight for U.S. dollars. A lot of gobbledygook, I know, but basically what it's saying is it is how much banks demand extra just in case the entire global economy goes belly up tonight, is roughly what it's measuring. Because when you borrow from the U.S. government in treasuries, that's pretty much a guarantee that that's good. So if you're borrowing from a major bank, you're a little worried maybe the whole system will go haywire in the next 12 hours.
So this is an overnight interest rate for essentially a 12-hour loan, and it's comparing U.S. rates versus European rates. Is that it?
Yeah, it's a very subtle thing, but it's about the closest thing we have to measuring how the people who run big banks, the people who run big insurance companies and others, how confident they are in the system. And what it's telling us is they've been less confident, but not a lot less confident. Just to give you numbers, and who cares what the numbers are really, but it's basically been below 50 or around 50 for most of the last century. It barely moves anywhere.
50, is this 0.50 or 50 what?
Yeah, it's 0.50. It's 50 basis points. So it's now close to 150. It's three times more fear, three times more worry. And it's gotten lower when people have felt more confident recently. I saw it as low as 80 not too long ago. And now it's almost twice as high as that. So that's a very alarming number. And because, I mean, the more I learn about economics, the more I realize it's really based on just faith and just different people all around the world believing that the system will work. And this is the number that tells us that, you know, people are worried that the system might not work.
So the TED spread, the measure of global confidence, this is a key figure to look at. And I'm really interested to hear that because I started off asking, where's the American economy going for the next 6 months? And it's tied into globalization and not just what's happening here, but happening elsewhere.
More than any crisis the U.S. has ever faced, far more, the world will determine how we do in this crisis. There's absolutely no question. And we will have a huge influence, obviously, on how the world does. It's intertwined. The crisis in the 70s and early 80s, that was a U.S. crisis, and the rest of the world was hurt by it, but we didn't really care what was going on in the rest of the world. But since then, things have changed completely, and we really care what's going on in the rest of the world.
Okay, but, you know, we do still care about some numbers here in this country. Unemployment, for instance. Unemployment remains a pretty important number, doesn't it? It's running about 5.5%. I remember when 5% was considered full employment. So it doesn't sound so awful.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at unemployment over the history of the U.S., this is not a particularly dramatically high unemployment rate. But it's the trend that you worry about, and you worry about that number continuing to get higher and higher. And the reason it's so important is we talk about so many things in the economy. We talk about, you know, interest rates and the stock market and the TED spread and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, we need people working. I mean, that's what this is all about. People earning money, paying their rent, getting food on the plate, et cetera. And if the economy cannot provide a healthy number of people jobs, then the economy isn't working, no matter what those other numbers say. So unemployment is probably the crucial number from that perspective.
Okay, we've talked about unemployment, and you've introduced this TED spread. Maybe I'm in error here because I'm basically looking for signposts, and maybe there aren't any signposts. I don't know.
I think that always it's hard to predict the future. Always the economists and others are looking, you know, through a glass darkly. It's very confusing looking at all these little discrete bits of data, coming up with an overall narrative and figuring out where you are. But this crisis is, I would guess, the hardest one ever. In the past, when we had the 87 stock market crash, the late 90s bond crisis all over the world, the 70s inflation, even the Great Depression, the numbers were ugly, but we knew what the mechanics of the crisis were. This one, we don't even know the mechanics of the crisis. We don't even know what's not working. There are fundamental questions being asked about whether or not our financial system works right now. That is a totally different level of concern than what we've seen in the past. And I think that's what's got a lot of economists really scratching their heads and scouring the data and just not finding the clarity they'd like.
Well, clarity always helps in a situation that involves money. But is there anything here that you could look at and say, here's the other hand, okay? Don't we, as journalists, we always look on the other hand. Where's the other hand?
Right. I mean, I think that's a really crucial question. I think that we, obviously, this is bad. This feels bad. But I do want to say that there is a reasonable chance that however painful it is right now, what is happening in the economy is good for America in the long term. It reminds me of myself several years ago when I finally had a year or two where I paid off my college debts, I paid off my silly credit card debts, and I prepared myself for adulthood. And it was a lousy couple years, but it prepared me for a more responsible adulthood. And that may be what the U.S. is going through. We are fixing the excesses of credit. We are fixing the excesses of spending more than we earn. We are transitioning into a new kind of economy where Americans save more, where we export more to the rest of the world rather than buy so much from the rest of the world. And that could be a really good thing. But I think any economist would tell you it's going to be a pretty tough few months or even a couple years before we start feeling the benefits of that.
NPR's Adam Davidson. He covers international business for NPR. Adam, thank you, I guess.
Thank you, Alex.